Friends, we now come to our second scripture reading of the day, second one from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 46 through 56. Let us listen for the word of the Lord speaking into our hearts here and now. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned to her home. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In our household this holiday season, we have started to initiate Josie, our nearly two-year-old, into a few family traditions. A month or two ago, we let her watch parts of one of our favorite movies, A Muppet's Christmas Carol. We started to initiate Josie into this particular tradition because she had a sudden and delightful attachment to one of her stuffed animals, Gonzo, the Muppet, Gonzo. And perhaps you know Gonzo. He has blue fur and big googly eyes and a few threads of hair sticking out of the top of his head. And now, as happens with most toys for toddler, Gonzo has been floating around our house for those nearly 2 years. Josie had never paid an interest in him till about 2 months ago. And then one day, she woke up and became fascinated by this most Muppety of Muppets. His big eyes, his stitched-on sweater vest and pants. She started to carry Gonzo around the house, demanding that he stay in her crib at night and sit next to her every time she looked at a book. One day, we decided to give Josie the chance to watch Gonzo in action on the screen. And so we settled in to watch this movie, Josie with her two-foot-high Gonzo doll next to her three-foot-high body. And as the credits started, the music started, and Gonzo appeared on the screen as the narrator, dressed and speaking as Charles Dickens, I might add. Josie became ecstatic. "Gonzo," she shouted, pointing up at the familiar blue-furred storyteller. She held up her own Gonzo doll and held it up to the screen, willing the two Gonzos to meet. "Hello, Gonzo! Hello, Gonzo!" she kept crying out. She then sat, rapt with attention, for a long while as Gonzo and Rizzo the Rat started to tell Charles Dickens' familiar Christmas classic. A particular delight of this movie version of Christmas Carol is how well it preserves the words of the original text. Because Gonzo is narrating, acting like Charles Dickens, the movie watchers get to hear Dickens' own insights and quick asides spoken up on the screen. We get to hear the immortal line, "Marley was dead to begin with," or the delicious description of Scrooge as a squeezing, wrenching, grasping old sinner, hard and sharp as flint, secret, self-contained, and solitary as an oyster. We love this movie, and this season it was wonderful to watch Josie rejoice in Gonzo, the storyteller, up on the screen. She loved seeing him come to life. Gonzo was telling her the words of a 19th century novel, and although she could hardly understand a word, she was entranced. Christmas is a time dedicated to telling stories. We tell stories through our movies, like A Preacher's Wife or A Christmas Story. We tell stories with our repeated tales of adventures from holidays past. We tell stories in our carols, in our scriptures, in our prayers. We tell stories and we pay attention to what these words are telling us about ourselves, about each other, about our place in the world at this time of the year. Here in the gospel passage today, Mary is taking time with Elizabeth to tell a story. Mary is telling a story about God that echoes across the generations. These words of Mary's are no lullaby. They are a prophetic shout, reminding us who we are and who God is and what is happening all around us, even if it is hidden in plain sight. This story that Mary is telling witnesses to what God is doing in the world, even now, and how we all are involved. We are being asked in this moment to settle in and listen, to pay attention and spend some time letting these words and this witness wash over us. We are being asked to act like a toddler who cannot look away when her beloved stuffed animal comes to life before her eyes. Now, I am not saying that listening to Charles Dickens is like listening to the words of the Bible, and I'm definitely not saying that Gonzo is like Mary, the mother of God. But I am saying that no matter what age we are, there is something powerful in watching storytellers tell their story. There is something powerful in hearing from people whom we don't expect to speak. There is something enchanting about watching and listening intently as the tale unfolds around us, even if we don't understand everything that is going on. Just a few moments ago, we watched some younger members of our church family enact the story of Scripture, walking us through the familiar words, teaching us with their whole bodies and their whole spirits. Our children have been our storytellers, embodying the tale of Christ's coming, just as the choir and the bell choir are storytellers when they sing anthems, just as you and I are storytellers when we sing hymns or pray prayers or read the Scripture. Telling stories of love and hope, grace and purpose and peace, this is what we do in church. And we do it particularly at this time of the year. It is something, though, that we do every Sunday, every time we gather. We tell the story of how we are created, how we are redeemed, renewed, and reminded of who we might yet become. We tell the story of who we are as a community, how we understand ourselves in relation to others, in relation to our Creator, our Redeemer and Sustainer, the one who is love and has made us by love and calls us forth to love. We tell the story of how we live with purpose and a bright, irreducible, irresistible hope. We tell these stories together. We worship in order to spend more time with our Maker, the one who is already here, already reaching out to us in love, already soaking up every minute that we can offer. God is here asking for us to bring our whole selves into relationship with our God. And so we tell stories in worship to remind ourselves that God is the first and the last storyteller, the one who sets the stage and the one who will give the final narration. We are participants. We are moving through these stories with our own will, following our own motivations. We are allowed to tell this story in our own way. We are allowed to mess up, and we do. We trip up and we fall on our face. Sometimes we laugh at the wrong parts or at the wrong people. Sometimes we end up exalting the villain. But God is the one who will have the final word. God is the one who will set all things right, who will lift up the lowly and bring down those who think they have all the power. God is the one who will fill the hungry with good things and show strength and mercy across the earth. This is what we hear from Mary. This is an earth-shaking, bone-quaking, blood-singing truth and reminder that God is the first and the final storyteller of our lives. God is the one who brings to pass those things which seem so deeply improbable. God is the one who invites us, even now, to join in, to jump into the dance, to pipe up in song, to receive this script of Christ's coming that we remind ourselves at Christmas, and then to respond in our own way with all our heart and mind and strength. I have a pastor friend who grew up in a non-religious family. Her parents had long ago left the church of their childhood. Sometimes she and her sister would wander into the local UU church, or she would attend a youth group. But 99.9% of the time, her family had nothing to do with religion. Yet today, she is a Presbyterian pastor. She traces her fascination with Christianity as starting when she would play Christmas carols on the piano for her piano lessons. In these carols, my friend would glimpse a larger, more complicated, more enchanting story, a story that she wanted to learn about, a story that she wanted to find her place within. The carols she heard planted something of faith in her spirit. Now, she's the first to tell you her faith didn't stop with Christmas carols. She didn't sing them and then take what they said and then give up the whole rest of the journey. She needed to water and nurture those seeds to see what they might become. And I'll say her relationship with her college chaplain was particularly important to her. College chaplaincy is something we support here and continues to be important in the lives of those who show up. But my friend, Kate, when she was baptized in seminary, when she told the story of her whole spiritual journey thus far, she continued to talk about the storytellers she first heard in the carols. The people she first heard singing about a world that she wanted to be a part of, who first gave her a glimpse of what God might be doing hidden in plain sight. These are words that Mary sings today in our Luke passage. Mary is a storyteller here, a powerful storyteller, one whom we should not dismiss just because she's pregnant or a woman or because we do not like what she is saying. Mary is a storyteller, and so we sit at her feet and we read this text year after year and we listen with wonder to what she is sharing about God, about power and privilege, might and majesty, and a mercy-filled upheaval of the world. Mary, alongside Elizabeth and Isaiah and Micah, Luke and Paul, John, Mark and Matthew, is telling us something about who God is, something about who we are, something about who we are in relationship with the most humiliated and the most high. So in these days, as we all have so many tasks to do, so many presents to wrap, so many things to check off our to-do list, I invite us all to at least take time at some point to settle in for this story, to listen, to give our own rapt attention to what this story is telling us right now. Let us join in the unfolding narration of worship, bringing all of our delight and joy, all of our questions and confusion, all of the awe and wonder that we carry, and offering it up to our God. And then let us go out into the world seeking to share what God is telling us here. Let us go forth into the world with this story of boundary-busting love and ground-breaking grace. Let us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, retell this story with our whole bodies, hearts, minds, and strength. Let us seek to retell this story with our very lives. May it be so. Let us pray. Holy One, you are the one who offers us mercy and strength. You scatter the proud and bring down the powerful and lift up the lowly and fill the hungry with good things. You are the one who tells us the tale of love and grace and hope and peace. You are the first and the last storyteller of our lives. So teach us now, O Lord. Teach us how to be your disciples, how to pray and sing and live the story of your love now and in the days to come. In your holy name we pray. Amen.